الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: فليعفوا وليصفحوا، ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. All praise and all glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beautiful congregants and community members, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all, and may Allah Azza wa Jal accept our attendance and make this a means for our guidance and for our purification. Allahumma ameen. From the poster above, for those who've watched their fair share of animations, they'd probably be thinking, is it really the song Let It Go from Frozen? And for those looking very closely at the poster itself, they'll be seeing a person shackled down by so many things, almost blinded, and something emerging from his chest. So this is something, inshallah al-aziz, that we will unravel and unwrap here today, and what it actually means to let it go. And inshallah for that, we will begin with a story, hadith, a qissa, from the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, he mentions that كنا جلوسًا, that we were sat with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said, يَطْلَعُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآنَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that a man who is from the people of paradise, from the inhabitants of paradise, will come to you, is about to come to you, is coming to you. So you can imagine the anticipation, the eagerness, the eyes of the Sahaba ikram, that whoa, we're sitting here on earth, but we're going to see a Jannati, a person who's from Jannah, a person from the inhabitants of Jannah. And an Ansari man came, an inhabitant of Madinatul Munawwara Ansari. He came, whose beard was disheveled, rough when you do wudu and you're doing the khilal, and your beard goes all over the place because they didn't really used to have combs all the time at hand. So he, a normal man, ordinary man, seemingly ordinary man, came disheveled by the water of wudu, after doing wudu, and dripping water was dripping down, simple, humble, normal person, and he was carrying his slippers in his left hand. That's all he was, a very simple, humble man coming in. So the Sahaba ikram, just like we would perhaps, reacted like, really? You know, look at his shoes, look at his hair, look at him, and he's really a Jannati? Anyhow, they stayed quiet. Why? Because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had said it. And they knew whatever he says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The second day came, and exactly the same scenario unfolded, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said the same thing, يَطْلَعُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآنَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, a man is coming to you from the gardens of paradise. And the third day he repeated the exact same thing, first day, second day, third day, and each and every time, lo and behold, it was the exact same man coming in the exact same state. They didn't really used to have routines like we do. They were very freelance people, but he, the same person came every single day. After the third instant, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam walked away, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he thought, wait a minute, I'm going to find out what's the situation, what's the reality here. So he followed this particular Ansari man, and he went up to him and he said that I have been in an argument with my father, and I have sworn. And you know, when you take a custom, especially in Arab tradition, even now, it's a very, very severe thing. When you take a custom, you have to fulfill that custom, that oath. I have sworn not to enter my home for the next 3 days. Therefore, can I please stay with you? So this Ansari knew that he's, one, he's requesting, and two, he's made an oath, so he has to fulfill it. So the Ansari, being a simple, humble person, he said, yes, no problem, you can come to my home. So Abdullah ibn Amr bin As, he stayed with that Ansari man for 3 nights, but with the objective to carefully observe and monitor every single one of his actions. Why is he a Jannati? Why not me? Why not anybody else? Why this particular individual? So whenever he would pray, he would observe it. When he would get up, what he would do, every single thing to the minute detail. When the man went to bed, he thought, assumed, this person was definitely going to get up for tahajjud. This person is definitely going to do extra ibadat, and he's going to cry, and he's going to read the Quran, and he's going to do so many exceptional and amazing things. But that man, the Ansari, the simple Ansari, he went to bed, he did his azkar, and he fell asleep. And during the night when he used to turn, he used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say his zikr and go back to sleep. So he's scratching his head like, why is this man a Jannati? He's ordinary. He's praying his 5 salahs, and he's not praying tahajjud, he's not fasting the following day, he's not doing anything extra, sadaqat and khairat, etc. He's an ordinary man, and 3 nights and days had passed and he did not see anything exceptional about him. But at the same time, what he did observe, that Ansari man didn't say anything negative. He didn't do anything evil or bad, which is equally important for us to focus upon. So then after 3 nights, he went to that same individual, that Ansari, who hosted him. And he said, O servant of Allah, I have not been in an argument with my father. I just made that up. Why? Because I was so eager to find out why you are so special. Neither have I cut off any relationships with my father. The reason why I did this is because I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, not just once, not twice, but 3 times, that the person from paradise is coming. And you came each and every time. So I thought that I would stay with you to find out what are you doing that is so special that makes you from the people of Ahlul Jannah. However, I did not see anything extra or profound in you and your deeds. You carried on and you did all of your normal things. So why did the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam say this? And the Ansari, he replied in Arabic, which is, مَا هُوَ إِلَّا رَأَيْتِ. That whatever you saw is exactly who I am. Nowadays, we see something, but internally people are something else. But he's saying, no, whatever you saw, this is who I am. Day, night, 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, this is who I am. مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتِ. Then he goes, غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ غِشًّا وَلَا أَحْسُدُ أَحَدًا عَلَى خَيْرٍ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ إِيَّا. But what you see is who I am. The only thing is, and the exception is, that I have and I find no malice whatsoever within myself towards any other Muslim. And neither do I envy anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed anyone else with. When he made this statement, then this is فَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَاسِ. He said, هَذِهِ الَّتِي بَلَغَتْ بِكَ وَهِيَ الَّتِي لَا نُطِيقُ. This is exactly the reason why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that you are from the people of Jannah, because this is something that we are unable to do and achieve in reality. We can all pray, we can all fast, we can all give sadaqat and khairat and do all of these other things, but how much can we keep our hearts pure and clean? Essentially, how much can we let it go? This is what he was saying. So if you look at our lives, if you look at our hearts, they're full of malice, of rancor, of hatred, of animosity, of anger, of envy, of jealousy, and so many other things are there all within our heart. It's not like it's something happens and then you just let it be and let it go. No, what we do is we keep it and we hold on to all of these emotions and feelings, and they become these heavy loads and burdens that are on our heart and our mind. But what we need to do, like that particular Ansari did, was to free ourselves and to lighten our heart and lighten our mind and to lighten our load, essentially to let it go in order for the peace and for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come into our heart and into our lives. Otherwise, you can carry out doing all of the external aspects of your deen, but if your heart is unsound and impure, and you do not let it go, then you will not be able to move forward. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, do not envy one another. لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا. Do not envy one another. Do not inflate prices for one another. Do not hate one another. ولا تدابروا. And do not turn away from one another. Do not undercut one another in trade, but be slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal and be brothers. Be brothers. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. Why? And how? Because he does not oppress him. لَا يَظْلِمُهُ. And neither does he fail him, neither does he lie to him, neither does he hold him in contempt. And then he says, At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. He pointed towards his heart and said, taqwa is here in your heart. But how many of us have nothing but contempt for our brothers and sisters? Oh, the way he spoke to me, the way he said this, the way he did this, the way he treated me, X, Y, and Z. Or we're jealous, or we're envious, and we have so much of all of those things. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if you want taqwa, it must be there within your heart first and foremost. It is evil enough for a man to hold his Muslim brother in contempt. But how many of us for years and decades, we have so much contempt and hatred for perhaps our friends, and for our khandan and family members. And the reason why I mention this today is because Ramadan is literally around the corner, less than 10 days away or so. But the goal and the objective of the month of Ramadan is what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you may achieve what? From the month of Ramadan, taqwa. And where did the Prophet ﷺ point taqwa is to be established and found? Is huna, there in your heart, ha huna. So we may perhaps be physically and mentally prepared or preparing for the month of Ramadan, but ask yourself this more important question, that how prepared is your heart? Because if you enter Ramadan with hasad, with envy, with jealousy, with malice, with rancor, with hatred, with animosity, any of these things or contempt in your heart, then you will by Allah not achieve taqwa in Ramadan. No matter how much you pray. It has to start from within. You have to let all of these things go. Because it is your heart that is the source of receiving the mercy and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. If your heart is clogged, if your heart is contaminated, if you are full of anger, of hatred, then the mercy and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal will not enter it. Reflect on people that you know, and perhaps even yourself. Ramadan will come, and many Ramadans have come and gone, but what has changed in your heart? You still enter Ramadan and exit Ramadan pretty much the same. The people that you hated at the beginning, mostly, you always still hate them after the month of Ramadan as well. You just outwardly work on yourself, but you do not inwardly actually let it go. Because until you don't let all of that baggage go, nothing can come into your heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah needs a pure heart from you in order to give you something. If you had a heartache, you'd go to a cardiologist. Go and check my heartbeat. Check it. But all of the hatred that you carry in your heart, you need to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to go to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And there you need to go and cleanse your heart from all of these deficiencies. Otherwise, you will not achieve the major goal and objective of Ramadan, which is qalbin saleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. But on that day, which day? On the penultimate day, the most important day in your life, in your existence, on the day of Qiyamah, on that day where you think your outward actions will have helped you. Your outward actions will have helped you. Or your wealth will have helped you or will come to your assistance. Or perhaps even your children. Allah says, no. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ No nafa, no benefit, no reward. They will not benefit you on that day. مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ What will benefit you? Allah mentions the exception. The only one thing that will truly benefit you as an individual when you stand before your Lord. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ A sound, pure, tranquil heart. This is what you need in order to succeed. And if you want to succeed in Ramadan, you have to let it go. You have to let go all of the years of hatred and animosity and the stuff that's been going on between you and your friends and your neighbors and your colleagues and so many other people. Everybody can fast. It's easy to fast, believe me. Don't drink anything. You know, most people pretty much are on diets and fads all the time. Don't drink anything, don't eat anything, it's fine. You ask your 7-year-old to fast, they will fast. What have you achieved? Anything monumental? No. The real fast that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam taught us is the fasting of the heart, where you truly cleanse your heart and protect your heart from all of those things that are there and contained. So this is why it's so important for us before the month of Ramadan comes that we let it go. Otherwise we will not benefit from the month of Ramadan. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that our deeds are presented to Allah Azza wa Jal on three occasions, three instances. Every day, which is between Fajr and Asr. Every week, which is on every Monday and Thursday. And once a year in the month of Sha'ban, which is the month that we are currently in, the month of Sha'ban. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that verily Allah looks down in the middle night of Sha'ban, which is what? The 15th night of Sha'ban. And what does he do? He forgives all of his creatures except illa, except a person who does shirk, illa li mushrikin aw mushahinin, except for a person who does shirk, and except for a person whose heart is filled with malice, with rancor, with hatred, with contempt for other people, they will not get forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the gates of paradise will be opened every Monday and every Thursday, and every servant who associates nothing with Allah Azza wa Jal shall be forgiven, or at least smell the fragrance of Jannah, except for a man who holds a grudge against his brother, and it will be said to that individual, this is hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, illa rajulan kanat baynahu wa bayna akhihi shahna fayuqal anziru hadhaini hatta yasfaliha, that delay these two, delay their entrance, delay their acceptance into Jannah, or even to allow them to smell the fragrance of Jannah, until when? Hatta yasfaliha, until they reconcile with one another. So before the month of Ramadan, we really need to work on ourselves from within if we want to seek any benefit or any true taqwa in the month of Ramadan. So imagine now, just for a moment, all your efforts, everything that we do externally in terms of our ibadat, our sacrifices, our worship, our sadaqat, our khairat, our salah, our tilawa, our tasbih, our umrah, our hajj, every single thing that you have done in your life from Jumu'ah to Jumu'at, from Ramadan to Ramadanat, everything is potentially on hold, is paused, is pending, is not raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you let it go. You drop your grudge, you drop your animosity, you drop your hatred for your brother or for your sister. Otherwise, all of your good actions, they will not come to your assistance. We'll see many people, mashallah, they are praying, they're coming to the masjid all the time, but then you know they have a dispute with somebody and you say to them, forgive them. And that same person who's a haji and so many other things, no way, do you know what he did to me? I'm never going to forgive him. Ask yourself, what is the point of all of your worship if it does not soften your heart? What is the point of standing in in salah, shoulder to shoulder. What is the point of turning to your right and left after salah and saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah if it doesn't soften your heart? If sadaqah, if zakah doesn't soften your heart, if Ramadan doesn't soften your heart, what is the point of all of that? If it doesn't soften your heart, if it doesn't allow you to let it go, because as a consequence of you holding that in, all of your a'mal, according to this hadith, will be delayed, will be put on hold, will be pending approval until you make it right or at least let it go. You fought with somebody, your children fought with somebody. You lent some money to somebody and they haven't given it back and they promised or they lied. Somebody said something negative to you, they slandered you, they backbited, rumors, they were ungrateful, they lied. So many things may have happened in your life, to every single one of us. This doesn't mean you have to be best buddies, BFF forever. No, what it does mean is that you just let it go and at least be civil towards them and just give them the right of a Muslim, which is at least to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah without any contempt, without any rancor or malice in your heart. If they do not reply or whatever their reaction is, at least your heart now is clean. Alhamdulillah, you are safe. You have done what you needed to do, and now your a'mal are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are accepted, inshaAllah al-Aziz. Why? Because you purified and you cleaned your heart. So this is what it means to let it go. And there are two more slides, but unfortunately, we don't really have time to go through with them, but I'll quickly try to go through them, inshaAllah, and let's hope that we can maintain this. But there's a beautiful example of a sahabi called Mistah, and he was a very poor man. A muhajir and also the cousin of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And during the ifk, moment of ifk, when there was this accusation of adultery against Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Mistah, he also spread the rumors against Ummahatul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha. So he's the cousin of Abu Bakr Siddiq. He's a sahabi. And he is doing accusation against the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, against the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the mother of all the believers. And he has been supported by whom? By Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And why? Because he's a poor man and he's supporting him. So all of these things are happening. And when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu finds out that this man that I've supported all these years, he's the one who's spreading all of these things about my daughter, about the wife of the Prophet, about the mother of the believers. So then he says, by Allah, I will not support him anymore. That's it. Perhaps it would be our reaction as well. If you've supported somebody and they react like this, you know, as they say in our language, namak haram. I've fed you so much and this is how you treat me. But when this happened, this feeling entered into the heart of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. Allah Azza wa Jal said Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the verse was revealed, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And let not those of virtue, Abu Bakr Siddiq, amongst you with wealth swear not to give aid to their relatives and the needy and the emigrants in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let them pardon, let them overlook, let them forgive. Would they not like that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and merciful. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and the state of his heart. And as soon as this verse was revealed and he knew about this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said, yes, of course I want Allah to forgive me. So he called Mistah. This was just a feeling. It's just a thought he had before he actually did anything physical. Then he called Mistah. He said, I will never ever stop supporting you. Even though you have done what you have done, I will not stop supporting you. I will forgive you. I will not let this stain my heart. The ayah was revealed. It hit his heart and he immediately applied it. How many ayat have we heard in our lifetime? Ahadith that we have heard. How to forgive, to forget, to be compassionate, to be merciful. It comes in here, goes out the other. We never allow it to penetrate, to touch our hearts. We keep it all in, and even we tell our children, don't forgive this individual, don't go to his home. Now try to imagine the people who have wronged you in your life. That person that just come to your mind. A woman, a man, a child, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, whoever they are, brothers and sisters, forgive them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgive them for the health of your own heart. Forgive them for the sake of your own taqwa. Forgive them so that your a'mal can be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. Forgive them so that you can achieve taqwa hauna. Otherwise, you lose out and they lose out. Nobody wins. Free yourself. When you let it go, you can move on with your life. It's between them and Allah. You let it go. Mistah didn't do something ordinary. He spread the rumor of adultery against not an ordinary woman, but Ummahatul Mu'mineen. But in spite of all of that, Abu Bakr Siddiq forgave him. So many people wronged the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he still forgave them. The people who mutilated the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Sayyidina Hamza, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, forgave them. He didn't converse with them excessively, he forgave them and just moved on with his life. So whatever people have done to you, said to you, is it greater than what Mistah did against Abu Bakr, against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, against all the Ummahatul Mu'mineen? No, it isn't. And he could forgive, we can forgive as well. Forgive them for your own sake. Otherwise, all of our ibadat and everything that we do, our tahajjud, our ibadat, etc., they will all be on hold and they will not be raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or be accepted. It's haram for a Muslim to be apart from his brother for more than 3 days. I.e. not to talk to them, to ignore them, and to completely boycott them. And the hadith says that if you do so deliberately and you continue and you die, you will enter into the fire of hell. لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فمن هجر فوق ثلاث فمات دخل النار. This is the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahih hadith, Abu Dawood. So for most of us here, the shaitan won't come to us and say, don't commit adultery, don't drink alcohol, don't do this, don't do that. He's clever. He will say, don't talk to that person. Remember what he did to you, to your mother, to your wife, to your son, to your daughter, to your father, to your family. Don't forgive them. Why? Because he knows when you do adultery, this is one sin. But if you stop talking to people, then all of your a'mal are never received by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're on hold. So he's a very clever, snidey individual. He'll say all of these things. Ignore shaitan. Cleanse your heart and let it go. Final two examples. I know we're running a bit over time today, but I wanted to complete this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he was once in the market. It's a beautiful incident that I wanted to share with you. And his habit was to keep his money inside his turban. You know, in Pakistan, we keep it inside our nara, or we keep it in our side pockets. His adat was to put it inside his turban. And a thief came in the market, he saw the money, grabbed the money, and he ran, like Usain Bolt, he ran. And the Sahaba ikram, they saw this, and they said, oh, you know, the la'na of Allah be upon you, you thief, and may Allah cut your hand, and X, Y, and Z. Naturally, it's a natural reaction, that look what you've done to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He's no ordinary man, he's a great Sahabi of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But look at the heart, the state of his heart of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and look at his response. He stopped, and he said, Ya Allah, if he needed that money, then put barakah. If he needed that money, place barakah in it. And Ya Allah, if he stole it to commit sin, then make this his last sin. This is the difference between us and the Sahaba ikram. This is the difference between us, our heart and their heart, and their taqwa and our taqwa. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, his neighbor once said that I heard Hassan perform tahajjud all night. And all night he was repeating, Ya Allah, forgive the person who committed zulm against me. Forgive the person who did zulm against me. And the neighbor said that he was repeating this all night, that I wish that I was from the people who had wronged you. And then he went to Hassan al-Basri and he said, why did you repeat this so much? And look at the response. These are the people who read the Quran and allowed it to enter into their hearts and then applied the Quran, not like us. Then he said that I heard and I read, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلُحَ فَأَجْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That whoever pardons and whoever makes reconciliation, then his reward is due from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want Allah to forgive me, and I want my reward to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore I forgive him. So brothers and sisters, before the month of Ramadan, make peace in your heart first and foremost. Make peace in your mind, and the only way that you can do that is by letting it go. Send a simple message to your brother and sister, to whoever it may be, and just say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We have had differences, we've had disputes and arguments, but may Allah forgive me and may Allah forgive you. That's all you need to say, that's it, khalas. And your amal is done, but you need to forgive them, you know, and you need to forgive yourself, and you need to let it go. Otherwise, your amal will remain suspended, and we will not be achieving purity or tahara of our qulub in the month of Ramadan. So, Allahumma tahir qulubana, wastur uyubana, waghfir zunubana, washrah sudurana. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan, wa qul qawli hadha, wastaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khaira. Apologies once again for overrunning weekly jamaat times, inshallah.